All right. Good morning. My name's JB, and I'm a recovering food addict from Westminster, Massachusetts. That's Westminster, one word. And it's located in the central part of the state, right in the middle, geographically. And I want to thank Joni for asking me to share today and giving me that opportunity to perform service and participate in my own recovery. I've been through the recovery process and qualify to be here today. You know, sometimes frustration and disappointment and expectations are part of everyone's life, but they're a major part of my life. A major part plagued me for a long time. I'm old, so when I say a long time, I'm talking about many decades. And, you know, and what I've discovered is that, you know, I can't change the wind, but I can set my sail. And I know that there's a solution, and I'm not it. So I work the steps and tools. And, you know, I've learned to trust and rely on my higher power. The doctor's opinion tells me, and I've already heard this today, that I have an allergy of the body and an obsession of the mind. You know, and that allergy of the body, those cravings, you know, once I put a substance, whatever, you know, fill in the blank on the substance, whatever it is, because I'm an addict, it sets up cravings, cravings which are beyond my control, and an obsession of the mind. And what that means for me is that before I'm done with one meal, I'm thinking about the next. If I'm not eating, I'm thinking of eating. If I'm not in the food, I'm thinking of the food. And, you know, I'm 100% hopeless. In other words, I can't fix that. But I'm not helpless. You know, I have the higher power, guides my thoughts and actions, and keeps me somewhat sane, not, you know, somewhat. Left to my own devices, you know, I'm off and running. This self will run riot, so they say. And, you know, I need to be reminded all the time that the disease centers in my mind, between my ears. Disease isn't in my belly. And for me, it's all about change. I have to be willing to change. You know, if I'm clinging to the old ideas and replaying the old tapes, that's dangerous to me, you know, because that's going to lead me to recycle my old thoughts, actions, behaviors. So I need to change. And this is the story about my change. You know, I've learned that there's a couple of words, and I think I read these not too long ago in one of my daily readers, about dedication and perseverance. You know, those are a feature of recovery for me. You know, God can do what I can't do for myself. But, you know, I have to do those things that I can do. And that's where the dedication and perseverance comes in. Sometimes I don't want to do the right thing, but I'm dedicated to it. And I don't think there's any other alternative for me. So perseverance is really important here. You know, I'm not always perfect. I'm not always perfect. But I don't leave the program. You know, I don't try to do things my way. I've done things my way my entire life. I've done all the doctors, the ways and pays, and the books, the readings. My God, I have a library full of diet books. It didn't work for me because I'm a compulsive overeater and I'm an addict. Now, I know people that those things do work for. So I don't try to knock anybody that, you know, if they're having success one way or another, you know, good for them. But those things didn't work for me. They work for earthlings, and I'm not an earthling. I'm an addict. I was born an addict. So, you know, I was full of fears and self-pity, self-loathing, and I ate over those insecurities. I began my journey in OA 9 years ago, and, you know, I arrived at OA with more than just a food addiction. I was broken and soul sick and riddled with fears, powerless, unmanageable. Sounds good to me. Sounds like me. You know, kind of sums up my relationship with food and other addictions. You know, and addictions are just, they're just illusions and delusions. They lie to me. My disease wants me. And I have to realize that most of the time, those thoughts that I have are just not reality at all. So I'm a member in good standing, because I didn't pick up today. I earned my seat in this program. You know, I paid a price. Now, I can't eat in safety. I had 9 years of perfectly imperfect abstinence in OA, maintaining a 50-pound weight loss. I've been in AA for over 40 years. You know, so I'm grateful. That was kind of my stepping stone into OA. But the truth is, I really learned the program here in Overeaters Anonymous. That's where I really learned about the steps of recovery and how to really work them. Nothing against AA, but for me, maybe I just wasn't ready to get it all till I came here. So I'm grateful for that, really grateful. And I know that I'm in this, you know, it's a daily reprieve. I get that part. It's one day at a time. Well, you know, I have to look at it realistically. It's a program that I'm going to work a day at a time for as long as I live. So, you know, it's a 24-hour program. So I have 24 hours and a lifetime of experience. That's what I've got. And, you know, it's been a lifetime of distortion and lies. And, you know, I've had to accept that. And this was tough for me to accept that prayer works where dieting does not work for me. And the program is the only thing standing between me and 400 pounds. I know that. And I have to, like I said, I'm pretty old, you know, but today's the youngest I'll ever be. So I have to keep that in mind too, because that's important. And I practice the basics. I don't binge and I don't graze. And flour and sugar are the two most serious ingredients for me in my life. I avoid them. I use the 301 food plan. Works for me. That's three meals a day, nothing in between, a day at a time. I know that I have choices. You know, pain and desperation, that's one choice. A little peace and serenity, that might be another choice. And today, that's my choice. You know, I want to belong to the living, not the dead. So I do the things I'm supposed to do every day. I have meditation time and I read my daily readers. I think for me it's important to take that time in the morning and just reflect with my higher power. And read those readings. Those readings kind of give me a little bit of direction for my day. Otherwise, if I don't have that direction, I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what I'm doing. So, I've worked the steps of recovery and the tools, and I work the latter steps to the best of my willingness and ability on a daily basis. I read somewhere, probably in the Big Book, or it might be in, I think it might be in the 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, actually. And anyways, it goes something like this. But it is from our twisted relations with family, friends, and society at large that many of us have suffered the most. We've been especially stupid and stubborn about them. The primary fact is that we fail to recognize our total inability to form a true partnership with another human being. You know, and I've had to think about that. You know, does that really apply to me? Am I still, after all this time, in a 12-step program, unable to form a true partnership with another human being? You know, in recovery, I'm better. Am I perfect? No. But I can be a trusted friend and companion. I can be that. You know, so that was a horrible handicap for me going through life. You know, today I think I'm living a good life, and I think it's because of the steps of recovery and the tools. So a little bit of what it was like growing up. You know, I would fill the hole in my soul with guilt, anxiety about tomorrow, and you know, it was all about binging and quantity eating. You know, and as we find out, you know, I'm going along in life and my disease is telling me that I don't have a disease. It's telling me that I'm really okay. It's lying to me. It'll be different. You know, it's any of those addictions, any addiction, they're all lying all the time. You know, restless, irritable, and discontent. You know, that's kind of describes me. And you know, all those self words, selfish, self-centered, self-seeking, blah 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 blah. The bondage of self. You know, I always wondered if I would ever measure up to myself and my own expectations. You know, I always set my expectations so high that I set myself up for disappointment. I was a fat kid, fat adult, and zero self-esteem. Eating was always about, it's always uncontrollable, unpredictable. And, you know, I all my life I heard the word moderate, moderation. You can have anything in moderation. Well, you know, if I was talking to a group of earthlings, I'd be preaching to the choir, but that's not what it is. I don't know moderation. That was my problem. I grew up in a family, I don't think any of us knew anything about moderation. you know, and that just went on through my whole life. And, you know, and I did the weigh-in pay schemes and the doctors, you know, well-meaning doctors too, and dietitians, They had grand plans and pills, and now we have injections, just all kinds of things. And
You
maybe,
have 5 minutes left.
thank you so much. And maybe,
You're
you know,
welcome.
Short-term success for some people. I used to think that, there'd be some miracle and I'd grow out of that obsession. But I only kept growing out of my clothes. That's the only thing that happened to me. So back in, so how did I get in the program? Back in the 80s, I had a friend that joined OA. And at the time, it just seemed too extreme to me, the things he was talking about. And he wanted me to come with him, and I was going to work for me. And then my sister, we're a family of big people, and my sister joined back in the 90s, and she's still in. She's been in for over 35 years. And, and I watched her success, and that really planted the seed for me. I saw the change, and that's what I needed. I needed the example of seeing it for real. And then when I went to my first meeting, I was in there with, I don't know, maybe a half a dozen slim, slender, wonderful women. And they were all dressed like they were going to some social event. And then they started talking about themselves at that meeting and talking in 50 and 100-pound weight losses and stuff. And I thought, who are these girls kidding me? It just seemed like they shouldn't even be in Overeaters Anonymous. And then they passed around the photos. And that was another one of those things that opened my eyes and made me commit to the program. And that was really my day of reckoning. That was my awakening. And, food is, I got to remember that food's my primary addiction and my first love. And maybe that's why I spend a lot of time going to OA meetings, working that program, and doing service. Because it's serious business. It's life or death, really. And I know we talk about Rule 62, don't take myself so serious. I have to take recovery serious. I don't have to take myself serious. I can be a joker. I can even be the butt of a joke and be okay with it. So it's about acceptance and change. And that's a choice, and choices have consequences. If I make good choices, then there are going to be good consequences. If I make bad choices, well, we all know where that goes, down that rabbit hole. So my actions and attitudes are in alignment with my values. That's what I think. They also tell me to clean my house, not yours. Fix me, not you. These are just things that I've heard. These are not original. They're just the facts of how this program works. Power of example. That's how it works. By power of example. You have to be honest, open-minded, and willing. And keeping it in the day and embracing the moment. So I live a sober, abstinent life. It's allowed me to finish college and get some self-respect.
You have one minute left.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
So I go to as many meetings as I can because I never know what meeting I'm going to hear, what I need to hear. And I've heard it said around here, and it's the truth. Don't leave till the miracle happens, and it will happen. Thank you for listening.